first reading is from Psalm 1. It's on page 549 of the Blue Bibles. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. Happy New Year. Hope it's started well and continues better. Thank you to our readers who read it so well. It is a great joy to be with you this morning. We're going to be considering those words from our first reading from Psalm 1, which we'll get to in a moment. Before we do that, I wonder if we might bow our heads and pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you that in your great mercy you have poured out your Spirit on your people. Father, we have just asked him to come and awaken our hearts, to make our minds clear and illuminated. We've asked him to come and magnify Jesus. So, Father, we pray you'd do that work by your Spirit amongst us now. We pray, Father, that our Saviour might be exalted and our eyes might be fixed on him. And we pray these things in his great name. Amen. Over the last few days, I've been receiving a number of emails. Thankfully, not particularly bad emails or work-related emails. They are emails from different apps and different things that I subscribe to, which have summarized for me the year that has been. Spotify has seen it right to tell me how many thousands of minutes I've spent listening to them. Far too many is the answer. And my favourite genre of music, independent folk, if you are interested or concerned. Strava decided it would repay my subscription by telling me how little exercise I've done this year. And even it tried its best to go, next year could be better, couldn't it? And we both looked at each other and went, yeah, we know it's not going to be. All these companies have tried to summarize the vast amounts of data that I freely give them and present them back to me in a way of saying, this is who you are, this is what this year has been like, and what might next year be like? We've probably all done that to a greater or lesser extent over the past few hours or couple of days, reflected on the past year, all that has been, and considered the year to come. And particularly thinking, who will I be? What will I be like? What would I like to be this year? I imagine that over the next few weeks at church, we're going to try and do the same sort of thing. We're going to reflect on six psalms throughout the book of Psalms, all 150 of them. We're going to pick six of them which share a common theme, a picture of a person. Now, the sort of person I hope and pray that we might long to be going forward this year. The sort of person that the scriptures kind of present to us as being a good person, a righteous person. The language the Bible uses that we're going to see throughout it is a blessed person or a blessed person, depending on where you grew up or what school you went to. I think we often, particularly if we've kind of been around church circles for a little while, we can use the language of blessed to mean life going the way I'd like it to. Things are happening to me in a way that I enjoy, therefore I am blessed. Sometimes it almost feels to me like blessed is just the Christian version of lucky. We can't say we're lucky, so we say we're blessed. But what the Bible means when it speaks about being blessed is a little bit more subtle. You see, to be blessed means to be in the right with God. Blessed is to have God's stamp of approval on you, to have his favor kind of directed towards you. It's to be in step with him. It's to be living rightly under his rule in the way that he wants you to. Now, that may mean that life goes in a way which we enjoy and find delight in and would be photos of and post on social media. It might be that. For God's ways are indeed ways of joy and peace, of comfort. But, and here's the important thing, very often that's because what God does is not change our circumstances so that we get what we think will make us blessed. Very often what God does is he changes us, our desires and expectations and attitudes, so that they might line up with him, whatever the circumstances. That's the sort of person that God is seeking to create to be a blessed person. And Psalm 1, the first Psalm on page 549 of the Church Bibles, it acts as something of a summary of that blessed person. It's a little bit like the end of year email, gathering together and presenting this kind of composite picture. But it sits at the beginning of the book of Psalms rather than at the end. And it sits there at the beginning saying, this is who you can be. This is how you can be. This is what it looks like to be blessed. So come with me to Psalm 1, page 549, and let us be introduced to this blessed person. We're right off the bat told two things that they do. They turn from something and they turn to something. That's the kind of the general pattern of the psalm. Notice verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. I was speaking to some people the other night, and they were talking about different career opportunities that are in front of people nowadays, and the opportunity of becoming an influencer came up. That is a legitimate career choice for people now, to be an influencer. If you do not know what an influencer is, I wish I lived where you lived right now. An influencer is someone who lives their life. And forgive me if you are an influencer and I'm appearing to belittle your chosen profession. It's not my intent. Influencers are people who, as I can see, record their lives on social media. And because lots of people follow them on social media, various brands and companies pay these people money to use and talk about their products. It's sort of like lifestyle marketing. And therefore, those many thousands of people who follow these influencers, who look at their lifestyle and like their lifestyle, then influence to buy the products of the companies that they've... Does that make sense? Yes, influencers. It's a very modern job. It's a very ancient reality. For is not verse 1 of Psalm 1 simply recognizing that there are great influences and influences around us? This verse puts them negatively. The wicked, sinners, mockers, all broadly synonymous, all referring to the same group, those who would stand opposed to the God who has made us, whether actively or passively, those not interested in God and his ways. And the psalmist says, the writer of the psalm says, blessed are those who turn from those voices and who do not allow themselves to be influenced by them. Notice how the verse progresses as well. The blessed person doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the seat of mockers. Maybe you've had the situation like I have of walking down a street or walking through a mall and you look up and you suddenly realize that you're close by or coming up to somebody that maybe they've even come out of a shop and they're kind of walking roughly in the same direction of you. Now, if you both just keep walking alongside each other for a few paces, your conversation will most likely be superficial and relatively unimportant. Hi, how are you? I'm well, thanks. How are you? Very good. Family well? Yes, great. Holidays, bye. But if you stopped, and if they stopped, that you'd pay a little bit more attention to them, wouldn't you? The conversation would no doubt deepen. You'd be more invested in what was being said. And if you went and got a coffee with them and sat down with them and spoke with them and listened to them and you'd converse with them, you'd block out other things and you'd be focused just on them, walking, standing, sitting. See, the blessed person doesn't allow that to happen with influences which are contrary to God and his ways. They don't walk or stand or sit. They recognize the power of these influences around them, and they don't grant these voices, these other influences, that power over their lives. There's an assumption in there, isn't there, for this person? The blessed person recognizes that they be influenced. Do you? Do you recognize that you can be influenced? You might think you're too long on the tooth. It's a kind way of saying old. You might think that you're too clever. You see things coming. You might think you're too principled. You believe things too strongly. The Bible doesn't seem to share that same confidence. No, you and I can be influenced. We need to be aware of that. But as well as being aware that we can be influenced, are you aware of what is most likely to influence you? Of the places and the people that get the loudest say? Sometimes it's easy, I think, to see things that are obviously wrong and steer clear of them. The very explicit, the overly blunt, the incredibly crass. Oh, that is obviously wrong. If I'm a Christian person, I can see that is obviously wrong and contrary to what God would say. I'm not going to let them affect me. But do you notice that sometimes wrong influences can come wrapped up in the most attractive packages? There's a little saying somebody told me a long time. The most dangerous lies are the ones that contain the most truth. Sometimes I wonder if we accept ideas or influences on us because they have so much good in them. They're not that kind of explicit, crass ungodliness, but they can still carry the seeds of things which will eventually push us in an ungodly ways. By way of example, the Christian book, which so idealizes marriage and being in a relationship with someone that you're left thinking at the end of it, oh, poor single people. Oh, how hard and terrible life is for them. If you're not married, you're missing out. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. And yet such a good package pushing us, influencing us in an ungodly direction. Maybe the image we have of a particular lifestyle or a standard of health or a way of living, which is not wrong, but it just so influences us that we're constantly focusing on what we look like or what our house looks like or our standard of living and comparing ourselves to a standard which the Bible doesn't give us. I wonder if it's worth, as we start this year, doing a little self-assessment, a little check on your heart, even now. Who has the most profound influence on you? The most powerful, the most desirable, the most attractive influence? Who are you walking with, standing with, sitting with? Those voices, where are they coming from? Sometimes they're just very external. What we watch, what we read, who we follow, who we pay attention to, who we will give repeated and sustained time to. My phone does this horrible and wonderful little thing, which it tells me what different things I've spent the most amount of time on. It is terrifying and so wonderfully helpful to answer a question like this. There can be external voices, but sometimes those influences can be internal as well, can't they? Kind of the image of the person, the lifestyle that you want to have and seek to project. those expectations and standards that your parents set for you. They may be long dead, but they can still speak so clearly. Those voices which whisper constantly, which call out to us, offering us what we think we want. We walk along with social media. We stand and look at people around us. We sit with that repeated voice telling us, if only you had this. The voices are all there, friends. The influences are all around us. Identify them. Who speaks loudest? Who are you listening to? For God's word says, blessed is the one who turns from those voices which run counter to him and his ways. See, the blessed one is the one who turns from, and secondly, turns to. Do you see verse 2 there? Starts with the word but. Turns. We see that contrast happening. But whose delight, the delight of the blessed person, is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. Law here doesn't mean statutes written out by lawyers. Law means what God has spoken. And we need to remember that the psalm is a song, it's a poem. It's not saying that the blessed person is the one who doesn't do anything in life other than read the Bible. Would you like to come around for dinner tomorrow night? Can't, sorry. Reading Ecclesiastes. It's not saying that. The blessed person is the one who dials up the volume of God's word, even as down the volume of the influences around them. Blessed is the one who is influenced by what God says first and foremost. Blessed is the one in whose life the gospel word, that Jesus is Lord and Savior, that word is the word that is listened to and understood and wrestled with and responded to and delighted in and is allowed to speak into every aspect and area of our lives far more than any other voice or word or influence around us. I think it was Charles Spurgeon, a great old preacher, who said that the lungs of the Christian's lungs, are scripture and prayer. We breathe in God's word to us. We breathe out our words to him. We breathe in God's word to us. We breathe out our words, our prayers to him. And so may I ask you, as we start this year, to reflect on how much space and time and influence God's word has for you. What place might it have for you this year? Reflecting on it. Reading it, listening to it, meditating on it. To meditate on it simply means to take it and to chew it. To chew it, to think about it, to reflect on it. I'm so full of excuses when it comes to things like this. I imagine I'm not that different to the rest of us. I can think, oh yes, reading the Bible. Well, I've read the Bible before. So I don't really need to give it so much time this year, do I? That's like saying, well, I took a deep breath in October. I'm fine now. I can say to myself, oh, there are parts of the Bible that are so complicated and I don't understand everything in there. And yet I can understand some things and I benefit from what I understand. I say to myself, oh, yes, but I'm tired. My mind wanders when I read. It doesn't seem relevant to me. I don't know where to start. Friends, all those excuses can be solved by even the smallest amount of planning, of seeking help, of thinking about what the Bible actually says. All those things can be easily dispelled. I think there's another danger which approaches us, though. I said before that sometimes attractive packages influence us in unhelpful ways, and I think that there's something around us at the moment which can do that in the area of this meditating on God's word, delighting in his word. And it is that we can have such a picture of what it means to be a verse 2 kind of person. We kind of have this, the picture I have in my mind is of some Instagram photos of people who have obviously just got out of bed but have spent 3 hours doing their makeup and are sitting there so alert, and it's just the perfect morning and the coffee is freshly brewed and the Bible's just open and the children are all gone and hashtag blessed, you know, and it's just this kind of image of what it would look like to read the Bible, and we think, oh, I'm going to be at that. Or we have this picture of every time I open the Bible, there should be this lightning bolt moment, and God should be speaking exactly to the specifics of what is going on for me in this moment. Or we have this picture of every time I open the Bible, there should be this exhilarating spiritual experience which is far greater than yesterday, which was far greater than the day before, which was, you see, we can have this picture of reading the Bible, of meditating on God's word, of delighting in his word, which actually comes wrapped up in this package which the Bible itself doesn't give us. And so in my mind, I think, well, I'm not getting all of that, so I'll just throw it all out. And there goes the baby with the bathwater. See, God never promises that experience all the time. He doesn't tell me that that's what reading his word will always be like. I've just fallen for an unrealistic idea, and I need to readjust my expectations in light of his word, which says that there is delight in the law of the Lord, but sometimes it is hard-won delight. Sometimes it is painful delight. As God says, remember, you're like this. Oh, I am. Sometimes it's cumulative delight, where I think, I think I read something similar to that 3 weeks ago. Isn't that wonderful, the way the Bible holds together? Can I urge you, my friend, as we draw near to the end of reflecting on Psalm 1, can I urge you to make reading the Bible part of your life this year? Make whatever steps are necessary. Ask for whatever help is required. But do what you need to do, for that God's voice is the loudest, the most regular, and the most persuasive voice that you listen to this year. That will require you getting a Bible, reading a Bible, planning to read a Bible. It might require you to speak with others about it. It might require you to ask for help from someone. But that is what the blessed person does. They meditate and saturate themselves in God's word. The person is the one, at the end of verse 3, who is like a tree planted by streams of water. Whatever they do, prospers. See, we're given an image of this blessed person in verse 3. This tree planted, sustained, yielding fruit, not withering. It's, again, it's careful, it's poetry. It's not saying read the Bible when you become wooden. But it is a beautiful image. A strong and steadfast and sustained tree. Notice it's productive, this tree. It yields fruit. Notice it's permanent, this tree. Its leaf does not wither. Notice that it grows over a long period of time, as trees do. That is the blessed person. And we are blessed as we tune out the voices of the world which call us to satisfy ourselves, to live for ourselves, to be like everyone else, which urge us to find our purpose and our meaning and our hope and our identity in something other than God and what he has revealed of himself. So the blessed one is the one for whom God's priorities become their dreams. The blessed one is the one for whom God's ways become their pattern of life. The blessed one is the one whose very character is shaped and formed by who God has revealed himself to be. Friends, I don't think that means then that you can't want a nice house or smart children or good relationships. But it does mean that the way we want those things, the feelings they create might be different. Or those things that we endure as we go through life of work and family, relationships, and all those things would be influenced by what God says. It's not a matter of either God or living in the world. It's making sure that the things of this world are engaged with and seen and understood in light of God's word. That is the first big picture we are given. The blessed person. More briefly, because it left space, so too a second person compared to the first. Verse 4, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. See, there is a turning here as well, isn't there? But it's not a good kind of turning. It's not that the blessed one turning from sinners, mockers, and so on to God. It is a turning away of the wicked from God. The wicked are turned from the righteous. They are turned from the assembly of God's people. Indeed, they are turned away from God himself, for they will not be able to stand in the judgment. These wicked, the ones the blessed person stays away from, they too are described using an agricultural metaphor. If the blessed person is like a tree, notice what the wicked one is like? Chaff. When you harvest wheat or barley, the seed is inside a husk, a hard protective coating. You want the seed inside it. You don't want the stuff on the outside. And so you get rid of that husk by threshing it, hitting it, or crushing it in some way, and the husk comes off, and what you're left with is the grain. That's the bit you want. The bit you don't, it's called chaff, the husk and the dirt and the stalks and the bits of dust. It is useless. So what do you do with it? You just throw it away. It's burnt, got rid of. Notice how it's the opposite of the righteous person. Not steadfast, fleeting, blown away. Not productive, but worthless. Not permanent, scattered by the wind. It's a horrible picture. It's a terrifying picture of the end for those who don't consider God, who think that this life is their life, who chase after the influences and voices around them seeking to be like everyone else. It's a horrific picture of the end for those who seek life in something other than the God who has revealed himself. And the last verse sums it up. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, that's the blessed person, but the way of the wicked will perish. There, the two lives are summed up. Do you see? To be the blessed person or to be one of the wicked. To listen to God, to listen to the world. To be shaped and influenced by the gospel of Jesus or to be shaped and influenced by the world. Permanent, productive, fleeting, worthless. Now, here's the question. Which one would you like to be? A stupid question, isn't it? No one's choosing this option. Nobody in their right mind would choose this option. And so as we start this new year, as we hear God's word, I pray that many of us will make moves to live the life of the Blessed One, to assess voices which influence us, to commit ourselves to listening to God and meditating on his word. Good on you. I pray that you have decided, even this morning, I can do that. I will do that. I'll seek help for that. But my dear friend, you will fail at that. I will fail at that. I saw this, I got sent this picture on, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, which was for people who had committed themselves on this day last year to read through the entire Bible in a year. I don't know if any of you have ever committed yourself to reading through the entire Bible in a year. This little thing that I got sent was very helpful. It said, no worries. We know that you gave up in early February in Leviticus. So if you read 15 books of the Bible a day between now and New Year's Eve, you'll still make it through. We fail and not just on simple things like committing ourselves to reading scripture. No matter how strong our resolve, there will be times when we sit down in the company of mockers and take it all in. No matter how strong our principles, we will walk in step with the wicked and stand in the way that sinners take. So who is this blessed one? Is he just a mirage? A picture of an unobtainable reality? An image idealized to spur us on to try harder? No, not at all. He is a man. He is the man. Did you notice that the psalm speaks of the blessed one? There is only one, the one. But the wicked, they are many. They are spoken of in the plural throughout the psalm. There is one blessed man and there are many wicked. But there is one blessed man who very much spent time with sinners but was never influenced by them. One who sat with mockers but never took part with them. A man, a blessed man, who delighted in God's word, who not only meditated on it, knew it, who lives it, who speaks it, but who is it. There is a blessed man who, like a tree planted by streams of water, produces permanent fruit, who will never wither, die, fade, or fail. There is a blessed man. See, the big question is not, will we try hard to be him, thinking that by our righteous life we will be blessed? If I just work hard enough, God will give me the thumbs up. The point of the psalm is not to say, be better. The point of the psalm is to point us to the blessed man, knowing that in his righteous life we are blessed. Believing that in his righteous life, as we heard in Ephesians 1, we find all the spiritual blessings of God in Jesus, the Christ. He is the blessed man. He is the one and only blessed man. He is the one who sums up the psalm, who sums up the righteous and blessed life, and he is the one who invites us in his gospel word to come and take part in his life by faith, to come and receive his righteousness by his grace, to come to him and to be blessed. Shall we pray together? Our Father in heaven, we long to be blessed, to have your stamp of approval on us, to walk with you and follow your ways. Father, we know our failure, our weakness, and we thank and praise you that you have given us the blessed man, the one who lived righteously before you in every way, the one who revealed you perfectly in every way. Father, the one who died for our failure and rose again for our justification. Father, might we be found in him. Might we see Jesus and be blessed as we run to him. And we ask this in his name. Amen.